morning we are talking about power. We have been seeing power from the hurricanes coming through us and showing those storms and surges. And we need to pray for those people. Is that right? And if we can help in some way, we need to power. It's amazing to think about power and to realize that lightning is something, huh? Lightning. And the power of God. But the power of lightning is awesome. And power. Just to bring it down a little much, you see the power lines there? See the power lines? You see those? We have AEP. Isn't it wonderful when your power's on? Come on, talk to me. Isn't it wonderful when the power goes off for a while? We in our modern world, what am I going to do? Get out a candle, dude. Turn on your flashlight, Don't get a heart attack, Do you know the power is there, just like God's power is there, and we plug it in? Is that right? I want you to think, every time you recharge your phone, which is probably every other day, and some of you don't use it so much as every other month, okay? But every time you recharge your phone, you should be thinking about being recharged yourself by God. Because the power is there, and you got to plug in to get it, and you realize God's here. When the breaker breaks in your house, we have our breaker to break, and I have to go out there. First, I have to realize it's broken. It's off. I don't have the power. I don't have it. And then I got to realize the source of the power, and I got to go out there. Really, I send Ronnie out there to click the breakers there, because I don't want to get shocked. And to click the breakers back and forth, and some of them you have to really work at. Is that right? You got to turn it all the way off, and then you got to go bang. And sometimes if you don't get a good bang, you got to flick it off again and go. And then it all comes back on, and you say, yeah. I want you to know God has all power, and He's given that power to us. Acts chapter 1. Who wrote the book of Acts? Luke. What other book did Luke write? I always love that question. John, no, he wrote Luke. And here it starts out in Acts chapter 1. He's saying, let me tell you, I wrote another book for you in verse 1. And then he says, and Jesus was taken up. Do you know Jesus really arose from the dead and ascended into heaven? He really did. Amen. And and it says it over and over in this first part of Acts chapter 1. And then verse 3, Acts chapter 1, verse 3. Everybody look. To whom he showed himself, what's the next word? Alive. After his passion, after his crucifixion, by many infallible proofs, he really arose from the dead. He was really dead 3 days. He really was buried. He really arose. And then for 40 days after, verse 3, keep reading. 40 days after the Passover, after the resurrection, he was living and breathing and popping in and out and ministering to people. He was alive. Verse 4, he gave a promise that he would send his Holy Spirit, and he says, wait for it in Jerusalem. And as we need to wait sometimes for the Holy Spirit, we don't see it or feel it all the time, but it's there and it's going to show itself. I'm excited about a couple weeks when Corn's here, when he gives the invitation. In the past, we've just seen children come and adults come. We've seen 30 and 40 people come to want to talk about Jesus. I just love it. I love that part. Now, I love his magic part, but the best part is at the end, and that's why we're here. And it is so important that we wait for that. And we got to claim the promise of God of the indwelling and empowering of the Spirit. As it says, his power, you're going to receive his power. Not your power, his power. And verse 5, John baptized with water, but you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You're going to be empowered by the Holy Spirit not many days hence. Verse 6, they're asking about the kingdom, and he says, it's not in your knowledge to know the time when the kingdom comes. It's in the Father's power, verse 7. Verse 8, it says, and ye shall receive power, and you're going to be witnesses. You're going to experience that power. You're gonna say, I really know that he really was dead, really was alive, and he's coming back, and he lives in my heart. We're witnesses. I saw it, I felt it, I've experienced it. Jesus is alive. That's a witness, and it's very, very important. Verse 9, he was taken up. Can you imagine? He came, he did miracles, he loved, he preached. He was falsely accused. He died. He was buried. 3 days later, he arose. He was with his disciples for 40 days, or with his disciples, and then he ascended back into heaven, and you realize, wow, wow. And then 10 days later, the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. Everybody, Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Everybody. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Let's read it. It says, and when the day of Pentecost, that was just a festival day of the Jewish people. Jesus died on the Passover, remembering the coming out of Egypt. And then they had a second holiday and remembrance. And all it means is 50 days after Passover, they were there on the holiday of Pentecost. And they were was fully come. The day has fully arrived, the date. They were with one accord. We're going to talk about that later. That's one of the blessings, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit is when we as a church family of 250 people can get along. Is that a miracle? That's a miracle. You know, most families can't even get along. You know, but God created the church to get along. And I love the size of our church because we know everybody. And we can get along. We work hard at getting along. It is important. It says they were with one accord. It's mentioned five times in the first five chapters of the book of Acts. And it is amazing there to realize that. And they were in one place, verse 2, and suddenly, if you have my email, if I have your email, I sent you an email out yesterday from John Piper. Very deep, very good, very powerful. Hope you got to read. If I do not have your email, you didn't get it. If I do not have your email, you need to write your email down and put it in a Dropbox, and you'll get it all the time. If I don't have your email, because I usually try to send you something about the message to prepare you. And John gave a lot of background for the day of Pentecost. And so if I don't have your email, write it down, put your name on it, write it down, and put it in the Dropbox, and we'll get you on that list so you can receive that. And it says, and suddenly, there was a sound from heaven. So all we have is it happened independently of anybody making it happen except God. And there was a sound from heaven. That's what filled the room, like a mighty rushing wind. You know, the wind was blowing. That's the sound, okay? And it says, it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared, here's another thing, suddenly it appeared, unto them cloven, that just means divided, like a snake, cloven tongues, like as fire. Note, it's like as fire. It wasn't fire. And it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. This is the first time in the Bible that everybody was fully filled with the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, he came and left. Is that right? This is the greatest thing about being a New Testament believer. You have the Holy Spirit. Once you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit always in you, fully in you, and he won't leave you. Huh? Don't get over that. Think that through. And it says, and they began to speak with other tongues. What is that? As the Spirit gave them utterance. You can't work it up. You can't figure it up. You can't try to get it. It is a language. It is the speaking in a language. And it says, there were dwelling, verse 5, at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men, religious men, God-fearing men, following the Torah, following the Jewish faith of the Old Testament. Out of every nation under heaven, John Piper said that one of the good reasons for tongues is that when the disciples spoke, every person, there's 15 nations listed here in our text, and every person heard in their own language, thus it made the gospel go global. Big statement there. That's a big statement. I hope you read that. That was a big statement. And it is important that we realize, wow, this is why God did it. Verse 6, when this was noised about, they all heard it and they came running to see what was happening. The multitude came together and were confounded. Puzzles started to recognize things because that every, catch this, everybody look, verse 6, because that every man heard them speak in his own what? So tongues is what? Language. I would speak and you would hear, if you were from France, in French. And if you were from Italy, you would hear Italian. You would hear it. The miracle was in the hearing. They were just speaking. The guys were just speaking. And everybody was hearing in different languages. And they were understanding. And the disciples were, whoa. Something's happening. And to realize that it was, God gave this for this time, number one, to spread the gospel globally. That's a big statement there. And then it fulfilled a prophecy that it would happen, and then it was completed, and then it ceased in the first century. It did. The things going on today are not languages. They're gibber, gibber, gibber. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 describes it. It says, if there's no interpreter in the church, let the person be what? Silence. What it says. And it says, don't let her be two or three at most, and the rest be silent. And there's supposed to be an order. And today, when you see it portrayed in some churches on television, they're all jabbering at one time. It's so unbiblical. And so God used it, fulfilled it, completed it, and it ceased. And that power was a sign gift. And they had it this time in the book of Acts, but by the end of the book of Acts, it's not in any of the epistles. It's not practiced in the pastoral epistles. And so it ceased. It fulfilled its purpose, and it ceased. And it's wonderful to see. Wow. Look at verse 11, right at the end. It says that they were speaking in Crete and Arabians, and it says, we do hear them speak in our tongue, our language, what was spoken? The wonderful works of God. Literally stating, John Piper says, the greatness of God. They understood, and it was spoken in their language, and God used that. We do not have that today, but we have the indwelling, empowering Holy Spirit fully and the complete Word of God. Verse 14, I'm going to fly here, okay? Are you ready? Verse 14, Peter stands up and speaks, and he speaks the truth. He's speaking truth. Put the next slide up. He is speaking truth here. It says, daily experience God's promise of the indwelling and empowering Spirit. This is how we're going to experience this every day. And it's better. It's wonderful. He stood up and started speaking to these men. And we can speak the truth. And if it's in the Bible, is it true? So we can speak the truth. You know, it's truth. It's authority. It's the Word of God. And he started speaking. Verse 16, he quotes from Joel chapter 2, verse 28 to 32. And he quotes these guys. He understands what's going on. He understands truth. We can understand truth. Isn't it great when you read the Bible, God talks to you? And that's the beauty of the Bible. And if you keep reading, preacher, I don't understand. You need to keep reading. Huh? Oh, I don't understand. Get you another translation. It'll help you. Keep reading. I don't understand. People that say, I don't understand, they've not read it enough. And it's very, very important. You have the Holy Spirit power to speak truth, to understand truth, to teach truth. Here he taught all of these people. Verse 18, he says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And he says, I will speak to these people. And God used him in that. Verse 36, chapter 2, verse 36. I'm flowing. And Peter is speaking. He is understanding truth. He is teaching truth. And he's showing them that Jesus, verse 36, is the Christ, the Son of the Living, crucified. He's Lord and Christ. Verse 37, it pricked their hearts. I want you to know, when you speaking the truth, understanding the truth, and teaching the truth, God uses you to convict people with the truth. That it's convicting, that it'll change their life. You don't have to do it. God does it. Isn't that neat? That He convicts. He enlightens. He illumines their hearts. And they were pricked in their hearts. And they said, what shall we do? And Peter's still preaching. And he says, repent and be baptized and be filled with the Holy Spirit. I love verse 39. Verse 39. Acts chapter 2, verse 39. For the promise is unto you and to your children. Love it. Love this next phrase. And to all that are far off. That's us. I love it that it's to me and to my children and to my grandchildren and to my great-grandchildren. I want that to happen. Folks, I will fight the devil himself for that subject. Is that understood? That is understood. As for me and my house, what? You better watch out, devil. I'm after you. We were privileged, Pastor Kyle and I and our wives were privileged to be at a conference that the preachers were just awesome and a great Bible men, John MacArthur, John Piper, David, what was his last name? Platt, David Platt, and great, great Alistair Begg. And these men brought the Bible, that we need to be Bible churches, we need to be Bible reading, Bible praying, Bible singing. Is that right? We're all that. They brought out that we need to be singing the hymns, old hymns and the new hymns, with some strength and some vigor, and that the congregation should be singing. We shouldn't have a show up here and y'all just sitting there, and that's what churches have become. And we need to have people involved. And it was so great that we need to have some solid Bible preaching, and that's just not shallow stuff going on in our churches today. We don't need all the lights and all the smoke and all the things going on. It was an amazing conference, great preaching. All of y'all would have loved it. And there were 7,000 people there, and it was amazing. Thank you for letting us go and to realize we have the truth that convicts people's hearts, that empowers them to do right. And when you speak the truth, understand the truth and teach the truth, God does the work. And I love that. I love that. Verse 38, Peter says, unto them repent. And then verse 40, he says, other words he said and testified and exhorted them. I want you to know, when you preach and teach and talk the Bible that God empowers you to do, you will encourage people. Is that right? The encouraging power of truth happens. And then verse 44, catch this real quick. This is mentioned twice in our five chapter text, in the five chapters of Acts. And all that believed, chapter 2, verse 44, everybody look at it, were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, their extra stuff, and parted them to all men as every man had need. You will show that you have the Holy Spirit power in your life when we meet each other's needs. This church does it better than I've ever seen. And you should be a part of it. And there was a family that had extra money that were given, and they would always come up to me and say, does anybody have a need in the church? And I would tell them, and they would meet that need. Does anybody have a need in the church? Every 2 or 3 months, does anybody have a need in the church? To meet each other's needs shows that we are believers. Is that right? And now we're to meet our own needs, and then we are to have to meet others, and to help our missionaries, to help our church and all that, to meet each other's needs. This is a power we have today, and it's a blessed power. And in our culture today, we still have that. And I love it when it happens. Verse 46, this is mentioned, one accord was mentioned five times in our text also. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. It is a miracle that a church has unity and harmony. Say, it's a miracle. How can we all get along? We're all different. You know, all of y'all are weird and I'm not. You know, we're all different. We're all different. We all have different ideas of how to do what we do. Is that right? And yet we get along. That's a miracle. You know, many churches are fussing and fighting. It had happened so much. Well, I want it this way. I wanted the building green. Well, I wanted it white. You know, oh, get a life. But to have unity and harmony, to not have bickering and biting and people competing and comparing. Is that right? We're brothers. We're brothers. And if you have an idea, we'll listen. And we all listen. And we come together and we come to good with one thing and we do it. And you realize, wow, unity. Fight for it in your family. Is that right? Fight for it in your life. Fight for it in your church. It is so important. The devil wants us to have all kinds of discord, all kinds of griping and complaining. It's a miracle. That's one of the Holy Ghost miracles. Is, wow, I don't understand what you're doing, but we're going to be together. We're going to be together. You know, Ron Lee and I was having an argument one time. I know you don't believe we ever have an argument, but we did. Okay? And we were arguing, and little Tim, Dad, are you going to get a divorce? No! No! Shut up, boy, I'm about to win an argument. You know. We have to fight to keep together. Now, we all laugh at that, but every home has it. Is that right? Every home has it. Every home. Every children, teenagers, every home. Unity and harmony is a miracle when you get along and you all walk in the same direction. The devil hates it in a church. The devil hates it in your family. Teenagers, get along with your parents. Parents, get along with your kids. Wow. Well, it's work. Yeah, it's work. There's humbling. Yeah, it's humbling. There's listening. There's honoring. There's respect. Is that right? Yeah. We get along. You're my brother. You're my sister. You know, you must be having a bad day. You're yapping about everything. You must be having a bad day. Let me pray for you. Is that right? That's harmony. The devil hates harmony and unity, but they were with one accord five times in our text. Verse 47, last verse, is there was favor with God. The Lord added to the church daily. Is that right? That's the church in unity and harmony. Chapter 3. We only have three more chapters to go. It's 10 till. And it says, now Peter and John, I want you to know this. They were a regular day. It was a regular day. Peter and John were walking to the temple at the hour of prayer, just like you were coming to church at 9 o'clock this morning. It was a normal day. And you might have had to stop off and get some coffee. And somebody at the coffee shop was in need, and you were felt to give to them and help them. Is that right? Just a normal day. Normal day. And now Peter healed this man, and I wish we had healing today. I pray for people to be healed. But in those days, Peter had that sign gift, okay? I do not. And I wish I had it, okay? But I pray for healing. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And if it's in God's will, praise God. I've not seen a lot of people healed, but I have seen some people healed. And you realize, wow. Now all those people that were healed eventually died. Is that right? Okay, we need to understand. But God gives us this power. God gives us power to have divine appointments. I hope you understand that. I had a divine appointment this morning. I won't tell you about it, but I was talking with a person, and it was just the right person at just the right time, and I realized God's here. Oh, to have those experiences and to realize them. So many times I miss it. You know, I get down, oh, God was there, and I missed it. I was talking to that person, and God was wanting to talk to that person through me and around me to have divine. Peter and John were just walking up to the temple to pray, and this guy said, "Give me alms, give me alms." And he was looking for God's alms. And Peter looked at verse 6. Peter looked at him and said, "Silver and gold have I none." You agree with that? Yeah, I don't have much money. "But that which I have unto me, I give unto you." Do you have Jesus? We have Jesus. We have Jesus. Now, Peter healed this man, but we can do better. We can tell him about Jesus to heal his sin-sick eternal soul. And that's so important that we realize, wow. And everybody saw it, verse 9. And they said, "Well, how'd you do that?" And Peter says, "Well, it wasn't by us. You know, God did it. It wasn't me." And then verse 13, 14, "The fathers of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and God did it. And God saw it. We're just His witnesses. We're just expecting God to do something. I am living my life expecting, looking for, desiring, and wanting divine appointments." That's when at work, when God wants to talk to somebody, wants me to pray for somebody, wants me to help them, wants me to encourage them, wants me to hug them, wants me to love them. Is that right? Just divine appointments to realize God's here. The Holy Spirit indwells me. And He is the God's divine, awesome, eternal power is in me. And He is working just in my everyday, walking to work, walking to the store, being in an event that God was there. Even at a football game. I wear my Jesus hat when I go to football games. Had a man in the bathroom say, "Oh, you're going to heaven. I'll see you in heaven." And I said, "Wow, that's pretty cool." And to realize, wow, it's God's time. And in verse 19, chapter 3, verse 19, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Now that's at His return, but we should have that every day, because God's here. And divine appointments happen. Right time, right people, right place. And I say the right words, or I just love on them or help them, and God was here. I just love those times. I want those times. You need to experience that, and you realize God's here. Chapter 4, verse 8, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, spake with boldness." Verse 12, "Neither is there salvation any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Verse 13, "And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned," they were fishermen, they weren't educators, "and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." If you spend your time in the Bible and spend your time thinking about it, meditating on it, even at our conference, John MacArthur pounded all of our video games and all the things that's dominating our life. Television and air. Is it dominating our life? Dominating our life. The telephone is dominating most people's lives. Is that true? Talk to me. We're addicted. Okay? I don't know how much time you spend on your phone. There are some good things about the phone. I love it that I can say hi and it types it out. Because if I'd have to type it out, it'd be misspelled. Okay? But it's wonderful. But also, can you just waste all kinds of time on your phone? Yes. It's the perfect time waster, is it not? Teenagers, talk to me. Talk to me. Perfect time waster. And we need to realize, I could be talking to God. I could be. You can also, on your phone, whip up and read the Bible. Is that right? You can also whip up and have the Bible read to you. You can also whip up and have commentaries and sermons and everything. Is that right? There's everything on there. Some good stuff. But we need to realize, I need to be saturated with Him and then have boldness. Because you can't have boldness until it saturates you. Boldness. Paul's boldness. Peter's boldness. And verse 20. Look at it. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. You know, I've experienced it. I know it. I know it's there. And then verse 29, they were threatened. Look at verse 29. Chapter 4, verse 29. They were threatened. Stop speaking. And we get threatened sometimes. And we can experience this boldness and endurance. We can endure suffering and hard times because we're with God. Will you suffer? Yes. Will there be hard times? Yes. Will God be with you? Yes. And that's when we experience that. We experience the hard times just so that we can experience His presence and His peace and His joy with us. And they had to suffer. They were thrown into jail and everything. Verse 31, it says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost." Now note what they do. "And they spake the word of God." No tongues here. "They spake the word of God with" what? "Boldness." It's always that way. Boldness. One of the greatest signs of the empowering of the Holy Spirit is when you just come out and it pops out of your mouth. Woo! You don't even plan it. It comes. And you realize, wow, that's from God. And you experience boldness and endurance, and you realize that He is there answering your prayers, and you realize it's wonderful, and you say, "God, thank you." Verse 33, chapter 4, and it says, "And great power was given to the apostles to witness the resurrection, and great grace was upon them all." And that's the power that we realize God's with us. God's with us. God's with us. He uses us. He speaks through us. Here it is that we're speaking truth, we're understanding truth, we're teaching truth, the convicting power of truth, we're experiencing the encouraging power of truth, we're meeting each other's needs, we're having unity and harmony, we're experiencing divine appointments, we're experiencing boldness and endurance, we're experiencing answers of prayer. And lastly here in chapter 5, verse 32. Chapter 5, verse 32. And it says, and we are His witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, whom God hath given to them that obey Him." We're experiencing victoriously obeying truth. We're living it. It's alive. And people see it. And that encourages them, and it gives us joy. And to realize this is what it's all about. To let this God and His power live in us supernaturally, empowering us from above, and us daily experiencing this God power that He's promised, that indwells us, it's always with us, and that it is empowering us to speak, to understand, to teach, to convict people, to encourage people, to meet each other's needs, to have unity and harmony, to experience divine appointments, boldness, endurance, answers of prayers, and victoriously obeying. Is that right? That's how the Spirit does it. Don't ever think, "Wow, I wish I was back in the days where there was miracles and signs and wonders." You got it. It's empowering you. Let it out. Realize that we are living supernatural lives. Peter, before, he was denying the Lord. He was rebuked by the Lord. But on the day of Pentecost, the power came upon him. And now we see, wow, he changed. It wasn't old fleshly Simon. It's empowered Peter. And we realize that. And you have the same power. Huh? Let it come out. But you got to fill your life with the Bible. You got to fill your life with truth. And if we're not doing that, we're filling our lives with all kinds of time-wasting stuff, and we're not Bible-saturated people just oozing out of us. And that's what He wants. He wants to empower your truth, His truth, coming out of you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me talk to you a second. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I trust you know you're saved. If you're not saved, you don't have this power. You don't have power to have prayers answered. Preacher, I don't have that. Preacher, I don't have harmony and unity. Preacher, I don't see people's needs. I'm just thinking about me. I don't have boldness. I don't have endurance. I fall apart. I don't have obedience. I don't have victory. I don't have joy. You need Jesus. Thank you. Maybe you think you're saved for years, but if this is not happening in your life, my, this is why He saved you. Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Pray for me. I'd like to pray for you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Just me, you, and God. I will not embarrass you. Preacher, pray for me. I need Jesus. I'm not sure I'm saved. Don't want to go to hell, but I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Pray for me. Can I pray with you? Just raise your hand. Let me pray with you. Side wings, balcony, down the floor. Amen. I'm praying with you there. Praying with you. You say that you got Jesus. Let Him come alive. Let Him fire you up. We're in a day of coldness. We're in a day of playing church. We're in a day of carnality, calling it spirituality. We're in a day where Christianity is just something you put on Sunday and take off on Sunday night, and it's not real. He wanted us to be indwelt every second and empowered as we walk. And He says, you got it. You've got God's power in you and around you and through you. Let it out. Let it out. We're going to sing Light the Fire. Light the Fire. Let that be your prayer. How many this morning with raised hands said, preacher, I needed this message this morning. I needed this message. Raise your hand. 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 Amen. Amen. Lord Jesus, bless each of us with fresh power from God Almighty in all of these different ways. Help us to realize God wants to walk through this world with us, around and through the people in our lives, with just us, normal living in the Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.